Mr. Dobson Reel 8. So in the February you went into the headquarters company. And you were told you were going in.
Yeah, it was something to do with like dispatch money, but never clean up on the company runner.
So what did you do? What you say company runner?
Well, if there was any messages to take out the other companies, I was had to take them in the baggage room. I was always with the major, always with him. I had bodyguards here, somewhere, you know, company runner. I'd be there for him.
This is Major Donoghue.
Major Donoghue, yeah.
So what did the headquarters consist of, the headquarters company?
It was Pierre Clark, Major, Sergeant Major, 2IC, Major Grant.
Major Grant was 2IC.
That was about it. There wasn't many of them. Till later on, like,
So how many people are we talking about in the headquarters company?
I would say about
And that was the whole company?
Yeah.
And what, did you have an office?
Yeah, there was an office. I didn't do the desk, because every letter I had to deliver, I had to write it down, and then I took it. And it was two, it was two, it was company headquarters, you know.
She was Russian. How many people were in married quarters? How many houses would there be? Was this within the confines of the camp?
No, that was about a mile up, towards that junior series, a little bit up towards that.
What other kinds of things did you do?
Sometimes I used to go in the major room, quite a while ago, you know, and there was a mate missing, or a nice building, just sitting there in the major driver, and they could not. Just sort of being with them, put it that way. It happened when I was here, and when I got there, I used to go there. I was there to come here.
In case there was any messages or
yeah.
What other things did the headquarters company do?
Well, I mean, the PFR looked after all the men's peers.
Who was that? Can you remember?
I can't remember. I've seen him.
What rank would he be?
He was the private and the company clerk.
And what did the company clerk do?
If I remember rightly, he'd been in a business, he ran a business in Sea Street, because he used to be a hell, because he had to do his national service now. And he could have been going out of business. He was an example, he was 21, he was an example of that old senior gentleman. I don't know, a senator or somebody you call
him. What rank was he?
He was just a private. He was really sort of a. beer. He was a nice beer, you know, good beer. Read it out, he kept the right in the company and that, and I would come in there, it was delivered to him. So I had to go out and different things like that.
And what other things were done in the company office?
Well, I mean, it was for the training that I was to be the sergeant major and the sergeant, so I don't know what we're going to do the next year. In football, planning football, whatever, rugby, anything like that.
So, what was your typical day in the headquarters? And what time would that have been?
Well, about 9 shouts, I think, was the start. It was just a nice time now. And just sitting waiting really till somebody wants some papers or something like that, you know, to go somewhere or take somebody. And I didn't, I was just sitting waiting. But I had to get off the train, you know, I didn't know I'd do somebody, you know.
So what did you think of that?
I enjoyed it. But I mean, I still mix with mates, and I do still make my mates, and I still out with them. No, but that was my job, that was all. I enjoyed it.
Did you think it was a privileged position?
Well, yeah, to be honest, I thought many times, but now I feel privileged. You know? Used to be with the major, not really, you see, you know.
You must have been quite close to the major then. And what about meals? Your midday break, for example, where did you take that?
That was in the canteen. Yeah. We get out about 12 o'clock in the morning, you know. You know, just go over like, make your own beer. You know, I can't remember that anymore. Just make your own beer over. Of course, you need to be out of here, you know, by the time you get to the But I think it was set times for different companies, times.
Were you able to sit with your mates?
Oh, yeah, I was with mates.
And what time did your day finish with the headquarters?
I was here usually about 4 hours or something, 5 o'clock or something.
And then what did you do?
Well, I was at duty, if I had any money, maybe I was over there for him, nothing to do, but I was just in the nappy in there. We had a barracks, we had a nothing in that way. If we don't stand until there's no flash, we can do it. We just sat in there. We still didn't have enough to eat and stuff. I didn't drink. I didn't drink very much, I didn't even store nothing. There was a reading. What do you call it? A women's appointment service over there. It was a good nothing. Or, like I said, up in Berlin, it was the big nothing with the other pictures. Just depends on you. Most of the weekends I
So did you have anything to do on an evening when you were attached to the headquarters company?
Not really. Let's say I played football, so I never had training.
Football training?
Yeah.
Did you do any other duties whilst you were attached to them? I'm thinking of guard duty, which we talked about before.
No, I'll be honest, I still was guard duties in the year.
So you didn't have to do that when you were in the headquarters?
No, I didn't hear that. I think I remember I missed a lot. You know, nobody said it, you know, I mean, it was good for me, yeah. Because you set the ball up, you know, and that. So I did miss a lot like that. Why? I couldn't tell my just, you know, like I said, just made the one, so the name was put on, that was it, and I never did. Real lads used to sometimes have to do, you know, really. Just depends.
What about parade and inspection?
I used to have to get on parade every morning, mind. You know, I parade outside the company, like inspection and all that, you know. See if you look standard.
So you still had to bull your boots?
Oh, yeah. I was still part of the company. Same as the clerk and the peer clerk and then, you know. Still inspect on the morning. In front of the
In best uniform?
Well, yeah, like a Norton uniform, sometimes just denims. Very rarely put them in a Norton uniform on there. Just like usually a Saturday morning, it's a silver's period. That would be going up there, your best boots and best uniform, and you know, spec it. And when you did get inspected, sell it. So,
what happened if you didn't come up to scratch?
And you got the PM series, colours, maybe the jumpers, and all that. I marched many blood in front of the civil.
Was that part of your job?
Yeah, that was part of my job. You know, and it's left back, you know. You gotta get them, like, and I've had many people in there, haven't I? But I mean, nobody held it against you, it wasn't your fault. You were just there. That was like, it was never the matter of fact. It was 3 years down, it was like a week's camp, it was like, things like that, yeah. So, I didn't raise the bar, I didn't look that way yet. I kept the same way.
You managed to avoid
jankers.
You mentioned marching people to see the CO. What sort of crimes had they committed? Can you remember?
Well, I remember the old man in the army, Nobby Clark. He'd been absent all night. And he was an old soldier. Good talker. And when he'd been absent, so he'd come in the morning, you know, where they charged him, and out there, marching. And I think what soon happened, he stopped marching, and his excuse was he'd been out somewhere and his relatives' beans had cleared up and he couldn't get better, so he'd had a lodging somewhere in Germany, where he would be not known, like, you know, in the German process, and he didn't get back with his set of bill. So, it's probably not right, and he's sent him to hospital to get the valet's wounds done. Yeah, he didn't want that. Gross being late in, like, he used to have to be in 23, 59 hours. At night, that was soon last one. Soon last one period, the wife was running to scratch. I got 3 years to have to get something out of March 7. Like I said, it was the size of me, but I did it, I was just anything. Things like that, obviously.
Any other things you can remember, part of your duties?
No, that was about it, just like in the office duties.
So you didn't do any training whilst you were with the headquarters company?
Not really, no. No, just odd times, size of me, and send us out. Maybe I wasn't doing anything with somebody train outside in the rifles or somebody else stripping them down, but I mean, you could do it, you're that used, wouldn't you? You just strip it and I'd put it back together. And but I had to keep them right from that, and they'd be there, you know. And then, so, and I still think they do it. Time to just kill you, surprising.
What did everybody else, what did your mates think of this?
I was a little bit, you know. You know, but there was no trouble, I mean.
No malice.
But the soldier was out of the room by the room, and I was sitting there. While I was there, well, it would be it, and it was good, I would be it, I can't see how it would be it. And,
What were the other NCOs like in the headquarters company? Did you get on all right with everybody else?
Oh, yeah. Sergeant Major Goodness. He was very strict. He was the old school of the type of something about his time of being a colonel soon. And that was when he put when he signed up for the army, that was his ambition, but he just wasn't that good, you know, type of open air. And he was the same thing. What he was after, you know, I remember him saying, you got to be in the RSM, but there's no chance of it. He never got the opportunity. He was very thorough, he was marching on that, and arms going on. He had him spot on. He was good, really. It's not long since he died.
Well, you mentioned before that you knew you were going to Korea.
I think we were going to Korea, I think it was.
Remember when that was?
Must have been March or something, I think it was.
So it was whilst you were in the headquarters company, was it?
Oh, yeah. And I think that's when we learned about D dispatch riding. And I said, well, I know it is. I said, I wouldn't get a bike. And there was something to say about going and learning about medical control. I didn't like this place. I said, I was interested in making it about working on the third man.
Did you know anything about the situation in Korea at this time?
No.
Did you know what was going on there?
I think we heard about it, and that was never really took any notice. I mean, I thought I was there for 2 years, which I enjoyed. I don't think anybody really knew anything about it.
So what were your feelings when you were first told that you were going to Korea?
Well, I don't know. I just accepted it. It was part of the...
Were you quite willing to go?
Yeah, it was part of the journey. I just did it. Right, we're going to Korea. That was it.
You must have realised there was the possibility of fighting.
Yeah. I realised that when I was telling about coming up in the intensive treatment.
And what did you think about that? About the possibility of having to go there to fight?
I didn't like it. I think when I looked at my mother got there. But I said, I can't do anything about it. Not really. Unless you were just conscientious and that was in there. And I wasn't one of them. And I knew the matrix group. I knew really that the lads had been treated and many speaks and I'd gone over. He went to the case of IOU week. And I think we realised that we were going to have a clue what it was about.
And you think that would have been round about the March?
I don't know about March, yes. Because I have to tell you what the script does, the shoots, the police, they went a long time just, you know, maybe put a blanket next to those skis in our pillow. For a long time before we really left Berlin.
Why was that?
They took the door off. Well, had a come for the army. I think that would be doing that. So, we like that for a long time.
So the whole battalion was going to Korea?
Yeah. Well, no, there was some wouldn't have gone. I've got a mate, certainly Brian Peely, and he could sign on for an extra 6 months. The time left we had wouldn't have let me go to Korea. It would have been a waste of time. We were just getting in and couldn't go. And there was quite a few that Brian signed on for 6 months.
So signed for an extra 6 months, knowing who he had to go to Korea?
Brian, yeah.
Why do you think that was?
Well, I don't know. Brian, I've never really asked him what he was. He was the company commander. The colonel in chief. He was his, media officer, Brian. So I think he'd get attached to him and that's why he's signed on for an extra 6 months. I'll ask him next time I see him,
What were the preparations like with the battalion preparing to move?
Yeah,
sort of things were happening?
Well, everything was slightly documented for the next battalion coming out to the Fabian, I moved to the from the building. But everything had to be moved down there, company clerk and all that.
So that would be a busy time for the company headquarters.
Yeah. Right now you have that in that time called me. Moving back in the end. And then that was going to happen in there. We went a few weeks, I think, like that before we really moved.
And when did you move back? You moved back to England from Berlin?
Yeah, we came back to Bransford.
Can you remember when that was?
It must have been March, maybe. Because we did a training down at Yorkshire. Before the Korean mapping was here. I can't remember exactly.
So you would find out that you were going to Korea, and then how many weeks after when you actually moved away from Wavell?
Yeah, it was a few weeks before we really moved. I don't know if you've seen that, but I remember we were the first battalion to come through the Russian zone. during the day.
Well, you mentioned before that you only travelled at night time.
Yeah, I did at night. And the air company was the first company through.
So what, did the whole battalion leave Wavell?
I think there was so many went to first, you know, as I mean, you talked about the Third World War, you know. Your company, I think, was another company who came through first. And then the military and Portland. We met them at the Hint of Holland. But we come through first. And it was during the daylight. You know, we weren't allowed in the Russian during the daylight.
Was this by train again?
Yeah, by train.
Special military train?
Yeah, special. Where our rifles landed in the middle of the carriage. I was 7 or 6 or 9 years old. Once, of course, when we stopped at the station, we weren't supposed to look out the window like that, and it looked straight ahead. And things like that were there. Because the Russian guards was there. Yeah.
Because it was part of the Russian zone, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was the Russian zone. So, I remember seeing it was, I mean, there was a lot of work being blown up and bombed on it.
In the countryside, we're talking.
When we're looking out, you know, we did screen, and then we couldn't stop it, so there was a lot of damage now. It hadn't been built then, but I mean, I'm talking about 52 when I come back to the.
So, how long was the journey by train into Holland?
I would say about 5 or 6 hours to get to Holland from there.
Were you locked in the train?
Yes, there was guards. I'm not sure, but I think there was Russian guards on so far, you know. So nobody, maybe nobody would get off, like, but, you know, to make sure we didn't, you know, things like that.
Is this on the actual train itself?
Yeah.
Russian guards on the train?
Going back. And, yeah, you had to sit there, you know, and during the day, I mean, you might just do it a bit, but, you got a name, a failure.
What was that? Can you remember?
I was just
Is this on the train?
Yeah.
You mentioned you had your rifle with you.
Yeah, I was lying in the middle of everybody with a rifle.
Had you been issued with anything else before leaving Wavell?
No.
It was just your own personal weapon?
Yeah, my own personal weapon. I mean, it was zero and everything, you know. I mean, spot on, no sense. So we brought it with it.
You mentioned stopping at stations. I take it you didn't get out of the train?
No, you couldn't get out. You never stopped very long, you know, you never knew again. Like, I think you just been up with the Russian guy, just looking, curious, things like that, you know. And then you knew again. But you did look, I mean, yeah, curious.
Can you remember much about the countryside and the stations that you passed through?
Well, I mean, just like little country stations, you know.
Were the Russian guards there?
Yeah, the Russians used to be standing there. Like,
and what did you think of them?
I was very tiny, the Russians. I remember them in Berlin and they were going to Berlin. They said, very tiny, and boots on, and big boots, and a long jacket, red coats, you know. I don't think they were smart there. I don't think they were on the bench.
Were they armed?
Oh, yes. I think they may all have been automatics, simply standing in, you know. I think they're glad to get out of it. You know, I used to hit the English. They hit the gun, right?
So, what happened when you got to the Hook of Holland?
We had to wait there. We were in the barracks. I mean, we're fed, I mean, and I think we stopped overnight till the rest of the battalion came down in that.
So how long did it take for the whole battalion to collect together?
Well, we came down and we still came like overnight, I think it was, and it was the next day that everybody was there.
So it was only a day?
Yeah, it was still only a day, I think.
What barracks were you in Holland?
Just a Holland barracks. You know.
Can't remember where that was?
No, I don't remember. It was near the Hook. The Hook was on there because we had to get the ferry there. I don't know what it was, you know. Not really.
And then you would get a ferry back across to
Hulwich.
Was this the same places that you'd gone over. Was there just military on the ferry?
Yeah. So we're talking about nearly up to 1,000.
Just your battalion?
Yeah.
And then back to Harwich, and then where from there?
We went somewhere from there, Harwich, in Bransford. Then special train up there. I think they opened the Bransford station up, and it didn't close down soon. And it was just a small place now, I think they opened down again. Before we're coming back, because I remember marching down from Bransford to Bransford camp.
Was this in the same order? Did the whole battalion, I take it the whole battalion didn't go on the train at once?
I'm not sure whether they did it, I'm not sure about that. But we were always the first battalion, yeah, here could be, here could be, you know, always the first battalion. And then marching down from there. Yeah, photographers not there, you know, the Durham's, there's a new one there, you know, part of Bransford camp, wasn't here. And I think they'd opened it out.
The station?
Yeah, before we were coming back, and they kept it going before we were going to Korea. And then I think it closed down again after that. Well, it's not going to be another one, so. But I think, I don't think it's there now.
So you remember marching down from the station to the camp? And what were your feelings then?
Chucked them back.
Of course, you were back in England.
Yeah.
The first time since you'd gone out to Germany 5 months earlier.
I missed the leave. So I was really looking. I knew I was going to leave.
Was this the first time you'd been to Bransford camp?
Yes, I think it had been. I'd seen it, but I didn't know if it was on my finger. Ramshackle place, which we no matter what we left in Berlin.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if you could describe the camp.
We just wooden huts.
Single story wooden?
Yes, just single story.
How many wooden huts was it a big camp?
Quite a few, right, because the battalion was there. It's square, not a football field, you know, how we're doing that. The guard room, as you went in the guard room, on the left, medical on the right, and down into the curtains. And you'd like to see the sweep around, and there was a nothing. That was about it,
How big were these huts?
I would see we get a group. A good team. You get certain red bricks in a hut house here. You know, I think the back of the room.
Was it just one dormitory?
Yeah, you know, you'd went in the middle and you would get a platoon, I think, in a whole platoon. I think we might have like 3 or 4 huts, like you might be in our company. And you spread out.
Were the companies together?
Yeah, just like very spread out. I think we were in the first ones, so we'd be.
What were the huts like?
I think just had the stools in the middle of the floor, you know, to lay it on and that. But it wasn't so bad then, because it was like coming up the summer. So really.
Yeah, we're talking about April time.
Yeah, you didn't feel it, you know, it was alright.
And what sort of furniture did it have inside?
Yeah, just a bed and like a little wardrobe that would go something like that. Well, we weren't going to be there, actually.
What about toilets?
Yeah.
Were they in each hood?
Yeah, I think they were. I think they were inside the hoods, I think. I can't remember them outside. I think they were in the hoods.
So you think each hood had its own sanitation?
Yeah.
Can you remember what they were like?
No, not really. I can't really picture them either. They're not there. No advances.
But you think overall it wasn't as good as Wavell?
Yeah, it was a good place. It was. Good stuff there, too.
How long were you there at Bransworth?
Then, well, really, we got to come home, and I think we got a. I'm sure it was a week or so. We got a gold battery on out in Yorkshire, Spencer or somewhere? Training.
Was this the intensive training?
Yeah, it was the intensive down there. So really, we weren't past with long.
I think only about a week.
Yeah, a week or so. I did the training down there, and I'll come back and look for 3 weeks later.
So there was no leave when you first got back from Wavell?
I'm not sure about that, man. I'm not sure I did that. I'm not sure.